because of his going to the cross, he who is perfect in all ways, he who is God in the flesh, we are seen in him. Our Lord sees our sins no more. Even though to this very day, until the day the Lord takes us out of this world, we're going to sin. If we say we don't, then we lie and God is not in us. Is that right? Isn't that what God's word says? For Christ's sake, we stand in his righteousness and his righteousness alone. We're going to continue this morning our studies in 1 Samuel. But I'd like you to turn to the book of Luke first, please. Turn to the 23rd chapter of Luke. You may recall that we are in a time where Israel, back in our text of Samuel, we're in a time where Israel has rejected the King of Kings. They cried out for Samuel to give them a king of this world, one that they could see, one that they could point to, one that they could show off to the world. Look at our king. He has fought for us. He has won. We don't want this king that you can't see anymore. This one who delivered us out of Egypt. This one who opened the seas up for us, gave water to us through a rock in the desert, in the wilderness. This one who just recently that we read about thundered, allowed thunder, and chased off the enemy. Oh, how quick they are to forget the wonders that God has done for them. I said that slowly because I want to know if you feel the way I do. Oh, how quick I am to forget. How often do we turn in this world and forget who it is who is in control of everything? I do all the time. I mentioned a moment ago, I need the Lord every moment. And that means if it is his will to bring me through a deep water, that I might turn away from whatever it is that I'm looking to and turn to him, then so be it. For all things, are they not all things? Isn't that what the Lord's word says? All things are for the good to them that love God, them that are called. Amen. So they turned away from this king. A king is one of any other of the peoples of this world. And God spoke to Samuel, telling him to give in to the people and to anoint them a king as their hearts desired. You'll also remember that he told them how hard and cruel this king would be. This king would take everything from them, unlike the king that they had who gave everything to them. This king of the world would use them. I cannot help but think of how the people desired a murderous thug named Barabbas. And they cried out, crucify him, because Jesus Christ declared himself to be king. He came unto his own, and they knew him not. There too, our great God gave the people over to their desires. If left to our own hearts, if left to our own desires, we too would be in that very same camp of those who rejected God. I know, because I was one. I can remember my attitude towards God before he called me. As I said in our last lesson, the blind man knows he was once blind. He knew that he had once been in darkness and unable to see, but by the grace of him who has loved me from eternity past, from evermore before till evermore after, to eternity beyond, because he laid down his life that I might live, I see what I could not before. I see he who works all things out according to his own purpose. Amen. Not some king who has done something and is waiting for me to do something to help him, waiting for me to accept him. No, I see the king who rules everything, who brought me here this morning. who rules my heart and turns it as He wishes to. Are you with me in Luke 23? Look at verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, he said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. That's all he did. He just went out and told the truth. He didn't hurt anybody. He didn't do anything wrong. In fact, he did everything right. And they didn't want that. And behold, I have examined him before you and have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. Verse 15, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For it was a necessity he must release one of them, one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Nay, don't let this man go who claims to be God, who speaks and that's all he does. No, give us a murderer instead. That sounds pretty crazy, but you know, that's exactly what we would be doing. It's exactly what we did before the Lord called us out of that darkness, isn't it? Before he gave us, by his grace, the gift of faith to believe in him. Continuing in verse 20, Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again unto them. And they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he, Pilate, said unto them the third time, Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. The religious people of that day would not have the Son of the living God. They desired a murderer over him. In verse 24, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required, and he released unto them that for sedition and murder, and was cast into prison, whom they desired. But he delivered Jesus to what?
Their will.
Is that not the will of our nature? The nature of our will? That's what it's talking about there. Pilate delivered Jesus over to the will of the people. And their will was, crucify him. We will not have this man to rule over us. Yet in the end, every knee shall bow to him. Every knee shall bow to the one who is Lord of all. He, Pilate, delivered the God-man to their will. But you may say, he is God. Then how can any man overrule God? You say he is sovereign over everything. Well, there wasn't once that I said that anyone could overrule him. You see, God rules in all things, including his own death on the cross. By the determinate counsel of himself, he laid down his own life for his chosen people. In John 10:17, you don't need to turn there. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. As we have seen back in our text, if you'd like to join me back there in 1 Samuel chapter 9. As we have seen in our text, our God rules all things. Even the giving over to man's sinful will is purposed by God. Pharaoh was nothing more than a tool that God used to bring his people out of darkness, to deliver his people from Satan, to deliver his people from the bondage of sin. That all the world might know the power of God. That's why Pharaoh was raised up. So as we continue, let us remember who it is that is guiding these events. Who it is that is bringing all things about for the good to them that love him, to them that are called. Saul, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power, had been led to search for his father's lost asses. He went from place to place looking. Pardon me. But of no avail. Yet it was our Lord who was leading him to the exact place where he wanted him, so as to meet Samuel at the exact time of God's choosing. Can you recall when the Lord brought you the first time to hear his word preached? The truth of the power, the true power of God Almighty and his Son, the Lord Jesus. Remember that? Can you remember what it was before then? I look back and I see the Lord leading me with every little detail. Even the things that I would not speak of today. For shame. I was being led through to come to this church that one day and hear his voice speak to me from his word. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the power of God. The one thing that is taken away from in all the religions of works. When you add your works to the grace of God, you are taking away from the power of Jesus. You are denying him his power. You are saying it's your power. When I have to do something for salvation, it's no longer worthy what the Lord Jesus Christ did. His blood is no longer worthy of salvation. The only thing that makes it worthy is if I accept it, and that's not what Scripture says. Brother Darrell read it. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. How many of you know a person that boasts about, "Well, I came to the Lord back 2007. I've never heard one of God's true people say, "I came to the Lord back when." Every person I know that has come to the true Lord has said, "God came to me." When I was dead. In trespasses and sin. God came to me and called me out of the darkness that I was in. That's what I hear God's people say. Our Lord rules everything, including the lost asses, including the fact that he went and looked place to place and couldn't find them. This was no coincidence. There is no such thing as chance, for our God, our great God, is a God of purpose. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 10. Then said Saul to his servant, you'll recall his servant said, let us go to the man of God, the seer, and see if he can tell us where the lost asses are. They were ready to give up. They were ready to go back. And Saul said, "We don't have anything to give him." And his servant says, "Well, wait a minute, I've got some silver. Let's give it that to him." Saul says to him, he says, "Well said, come, let us go." So that they went unto the city where the man of God was. And as they went up to the hill of the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water and said unto them, "Is the seer here?" And they answered them and said, "He is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. And as soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore, get ye up, for about this time ye shall find him. And they, Saul and his servant, went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. Verse 15. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because of their cry is come unto me. Interesting. Remember we talked a moment ago about how God rules over everything. Our Lord is telling us here, I heard the people cry. I heard what they asked for. And even though what he's going to give them is not probably the best thing for them at that moment, in the long run it is. In the long run, it may separate the wheat from the chaff. In the long run, we don't know what our trials may bring us to that are good. But our Lord says all things. Even this wicked king who's going to come to them, the Lord heard their cry and gave them over to their will. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake of to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. This is the man, Samuel, right here. The Lord is telling him, this is the one I told you about yesterday. He stands before you. See how God works all things out? See how every detail? When we say that our Lord controls the snowflakes that fall on the ground, how shall he not control exactly this too? If he doesn't control that, can we really call him God? No. To be called God means ruler of everything. Sovereign ruler of everything. Verse 18, then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is? And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses, they were lost 3 days ago. Now notice this. Did the man, Saul, tell him, Samuel, anything about the lost asses? No, he just asked where the seer was. Did you notice that? God works that out too, doesn't he? Amen. And Saul, and as for thine asses, they were lost 3 days ago, and not set not thy mind on them, for they were found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not thee and all of thy father's house? And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them to sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it before thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee since I said I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And when they were come down from the high place in the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out both of them, and he and Samuel abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Samuel is doing exactly what the men of God do. We're not here to help you self-help yourself. So many in today's world, it's all about self-help. How can you build yourself up out of the misery that you're feeling? The sorrow that's in your heart? How can you put aside the drug abuse that you're wrapped up in? How can you put aside the whatever your trouble might be? Go to church. Seek ye the Lord. Do this, do that. Pastor Gene preached an awesome message last week, folks, but that was a message. That was a message that was dear to me in a way that I cannot even explain. Pastor Gene had been thinking about that message for 6 to 8 months before he left. What can I say to John and Mike, to the men and women of this congregation? Preach Christ. That's all he said last week, didn't it? I know it took an hour to do that, but that's about what he said the whole time. And it just, I soaked it up. Preach Christ. I wish to know nothing of you save Christ and Him crucified. Everything else will come right along with the way the Lord wants it. Samuel is doing exactly what men of God do. They share the word of God. You don't need to turn there, but in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they be called on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How are you going to call on somebody you've never heard? I'd heard plenty about some guy named Jesus who loved everybody and died for everybody, and all you got to do is do this and his love is for you. I'd heard plenty about that guy. But I'd never heard about the one who has all true power. I'd never heard about the one who would draw me to him until the day of his power when he brought me to a church to hear his word preached. How are you going to know about he who is God in the flesh if you've never heard about him? How are you going to know about him who loved his people before the world ever was? If Christ loved his people before the world was, can he lose any? Now I'm going to say it again, Mike. Here it comes. There are no empty seats in heaven. No. Every single seat will be filled. There won't be any extras. And there won't be any empty ones. How are you going to know about him who loved his people before the world was, so much so that he laid down his life for his chosen that they would live, if you had never heard of that one? How are you going to know him? Come, let me tell you about Jesus Christ the Lord. Let me tell you about the ruler of everything. Lord of lords, master of all things. This is the God that we serve, the Son of the living God. Stand thou still for a while, will you? That I may tell thee the word of God. Pastor.